From KQED Public Radio, this is the Capitol Notes podcast, our weekly look at politics and policy for the week ending, I don't know, the day after Thanksgiving.
Black Friday.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was so
awesome.
I can't even describe. You know what? Frankly, I don't even remember.
You don't even remember?
No, it's like it never happened.
I had the wildest Thanksgiving. No.
We'll talk about this off the air.
Okay. So off the air, off the podcast, off the cast. Okay, so that was all a really lame way of saying that we are taping this before Thanksgiving, because let's face it, we're taking a couple of days off.
You pulled the curtain off yourself, though,
wasn't it? I totally exposed the whole thing. I flashed the
whistleblower.
Okay, whatever.
You know what we do to people like you in prison?
Well, that's another whole podcast. I'm John Myers from KQED. Ay-ay-ay, that's Anthony York from Capital Weekly. See, we're in the holiday season. It's just festive.
It was a Roadhouse reference. Never mind. Patrick Swayze.
Thanks, but Patrick Swayze.
An homage to the late Patrick Swayze.
Have another helping of cranberries while we talk. So if you're sitting around stuffed to the gills with turkey, the tryptophan clearly working its way through your system, we figured we'd talk about electoral politics for 2010.
Turkeys have gills?
Kind of. Okay, yay. Let's talk about politics, Anthony.
Okay.
So we figured we'd just take a little moment to talk about race for governor, race for Senate, how things look so far, kind of what to keep your eyes open for. I don't know. I don't really know kind of what to make of this thing so far. It's we have a three-way race for the Republican nomination for governor: Meg Whitman, Steve Poizner, Tom Campbell. We have a one-way race for the Democratic nomination, maybe halfway, because
a couple of different personalities running.
Yeah, because Jerry Brown has not formally said he's a candidate yet.
A no-way race.
Yeah. Well, he said he's not going to announce until snow flies in the Sierra, and I've now noted at least twice.
It's been flying.
Probably three times by the time this airs that the snow has flown.
He meant the low Sierras.
Like Sacramento?
Placerville,
yeah. Exactly. Up Highway 50. Yeah. And then we've got the race for the U.S. Senate, which is going to get a lot of attention, where you've got Carly Fiorina and Chuck DeVore vying for the Republican nomination, and Barbara Boxer trying to hang on to her seat. Let's take the governor's race first. And really, it's all on the Republican side. What do you make of this so far? I mean, and really, is it a three-way race? Because it's not always feeling that way.
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, we've seen Meg Whitman now in a couple of recent polls come out into a pretty substantial lead over Tom Campbell and Steve Poizner. And I think the question a lot of folks are asking themselves at this point is, where is Steve Poizner? I mean, you know, Whitman seems to have had sort of the inside track here and a lot of momentum among, you know, the Republican Party tends to kind of handpick their candidates by and large, more so than the Democrats. And Whitman sort of has the feeling of an establishment candidate, although Poizner has worked hard over the last 4 to 6 years.
Especially to cultivate the diehards, the real conservatives in the party.
But, you know, Whitman's been up on the air now for, 6 weeks
radio
commercials. And I think the question is, where is Steve Poizner? I mean, Poizner's got a lot of money. Why is he allowing Whitman to sort of race out to this early lead? Is he conceding the race? Is this a strategy?
And if you believe some of the polls, it looks like Whitman has extended her lead a little bit, though there are a lot of undecided still. We have to be careful to say that.
But why allow her to sprint out to the early lead? I mean, is this the tortoise and the hare situation or something else going on?
But do you think, one of the things that's happened, I mean, and we're kind of looking at the Whitman-Poizner dynamic for a moment. We'll talk about Campbell in a moment, too. But, you know, one of the things seems to be what I think is going to be fascinating is that we continue to get a little story after a little story after a little story about things about Whitman that may not play well with the diehard faithful.
Right.
You know, in the past week, we had another story about her philanthropic organization gave a lot of money to
Environmental Defense Fund.
Yeah, environmental causes that don't normally sit well with Republicans. Now, maybe that doesn't really matter, given that Poizner and his family or his wife, depending on whosever version of this you've heard, gave money to Democrats and to Al Gore for his defense of Florida in the 2000 recount.
As did Whitman.
Exactly. Right. So, I mean, I don't know how this plays, but we keep having the storyline out there, I don't know, fed by people or just, resourceful reporters about Whitman and Whitman as a Republican, or is she a Republican or whatever. And she's going to keep getting that. She's going to keep getting those questions.
Well, she's got the bullseye on her back, because I think that that she is viewed as the front runner at this point. I mean, I think she's, you know, not only is she ahead in the polls, but she's been subject to the harshest coverage to date. I don't think that Poizner has been put under the media microscope in quite the same way.
Though Poizner had his own story, a week or so ago about, you know, had his claims as insurance commissioner that he had done X, Y, and Z. Had they really panned out that way? And there was some suggestion that he had overinflated some of the claims that he had he had done as insurance commissioner. Anyway,
and those will come. But I think that, you know, Gavin Newsom stepping out of the Democratic primary does change the dynamics of the race. And this is something that we wrote about in Capital Weekly this week.
Nice preview of something that happened currently in the
future. But looking at how Newsom's exit changes the dynamic. Number one, remember, declined to state voters can choose which primary they want to participate in. They can select a Republican ballot or a Democratic ballot, and then
and the Republican Party is going to count those votes in their primary.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. There was an internal party effort to try to reverse some of that, and that never panned out. So a lot of the folks that we talk to don't necessarily think it's going to make a huge difference. But, you know, some declined to state voters who may have been Newsom supporters or even Jerry Brown supporters may decide, you know what, there's no race there. So and there's no race on the Democratic side for Senate either. Mm-hmm. So why don't I go and play in the Republican races for Senate and governor? Now, whether that will have an impact on the race remains to be seen. The other issue that we sort of explore is whether there are any parallels between Jerry Brown in 2010 and Dan Lundgren in 1998. Remember, there you had a cleared political field. You had a candidate not running, not running a contested race. Lundgren in 98 and Brown in 2010, and an ugly
fight on the other side.
And an ugly fight on the other side. And through that, Gray Davis emerged from that bloody three-way primary, battle tested, and a lot of independents. We had a different primary system in place where independents could vote could vote directly in either primary. But that Davis emerged from that battle tested and never really looked back. I mean, in June, if you look at the overall vote count, Lundgren's overall vote count percentage wise in June was pretty similar to what he ended up getting in November. And there are at least a couple Democrats out there who are nervous about Jerry Brown because he's so eccentric.
Which Jerry Brown do they get? I've heard that said the past week.
And not just that. I mean, he's got $7 million in the bank. Well, that's great. I mean, that's enough to bury Gavin Newsom. But is it enough to bury Meg Whitman or Steve Poizner? And what happens when some Republican surrogates start attacking Jerry Brown in December, in January, in February, and trying to drive his numbers down, if nothing else, to get him to force to spend a little bit? And so there are some tactical questions. Jerry Brown is not a fan of the tactical components of running a large campaign. He's not a big believer in consultants and paying, you know, these high paid consultants that have
currently doesn't have any almost.
Right. And I think Joe Trippi is in the Jerry Brown orbit. But you know, Brown has not run a major top of the ticket statewide campaign in the state for a long, long time. And there are some questions about whether having the reference of running in 74 and 78 and even for U.S. Senate in 82, whether that helps him or hurts him because the game has changed so much. I mean, it's a different political world.
Well, I like the theory about 1998 and trying to figure out the parallels there because one of the things you also hear looking at the Republican ticket is whether a Tom Campbell, who is massively outfunded by the other two candidates, couldn't slip through the Whitman-Poizner fight in a way that Davis slipped through the Al Checky-Jane Harmon fight of two wealthy people for the Democratic nomination.
Right. And that, again, goes to the decline to state voters. I don't know if Tom Campbell is the candidate of the decline to state voters, but if a lot of – but, you know, there seems to be a sense that – Campbell has a respect, I think, that transcends party lines, even if people haven't looked real closely and they don't necessarily like him or that like all of what he stands for. He has a certain gravitas that I think Whitman and Poizner both lack.
But now, what do you think? Because there are some critics who say that Campbell's getting a free pass in the press and that he is the darling of political reporters in California.
I mean, it's horse race politics,
right? You think it's because he's underdog, not so much because he seems to have the gravitas that you talk about.
No, I mean, I think that the gravitas is imparted upon him in part. I mean, I don't want to belittle his record or anything, but in part because he is the underdog. And if you look at the narrative of the Tom Campbell stories, it's could he pull a Gray Davis in 1998, where, you know, Davis was dismissed as political roadkill famously in 97. I mean, this time in 1997, this point in the cycle, Al Checky was already on the air with TV commercials. I mean, we haven't quite seen that yet, although Whitman is already out on radio. There are a lot of ways in which Tom Campbell is different than Gray Davis. Gray Davis had the establishment support of the Democratic Party from labor unions that had a lot of money, and Tom Campbell doesn't have the equivalent of that in the Republican Party. But I think that, you know, the 98 scenarios are worth making for that reason, for the Tom Campbell reason, and also for the Jerry Brown, Dan Lundgren.
You know what I'm fascinated to watch? I mean, this hasn't played out yet, but, you know, it's something to watch as we go along and we get closer, is what role Arnold Schwarzenegger plays in all of this, either just by his presence or anything directly, so indirectly or directly.
Right.
Because clearly the state's going to be completely in the toilet again in the budget speak. And so we've got all the budget problems are going to be on the headlines and on the news every day. The governor's going to have to be weighing in on that and what he thinks. The candidates are going to want to distance themselves sometimes. Meg Whitman has done that a lot, trying to distance herself. So has Steve Poizner in a lot of ways. The Whitman-Schwarzenegger camps have sparred a little bit about that. There's been a little bit of pushback from the Arnold Schwarzenegger camp about some of the things Whitman says about, like, firing state workers, for example.
Right.
Tom Campbell is a loyalist to Arnold Schwarzenegger. You would wonder whether Schwarzenegger would gravitate his way in a primary or not. And let's not forget, Arnold Schwarzenegger likes Jerry Brown, it seems like, in a lot of ways.
Right.
And Schwarzenegger could pull a
Bill Lockyer.
Exactly. And say, I'm voting for Jerry Brown. Right. I mean, so I don't know. What do you think? I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger is – people have got to watch where he is, or at least – how he plays.
Well, remember, the election in June is a Republican primary, although independent voters will be able to cast ballots. The vast majority are going to be conservative Republicans. I mean, it's a primary. It's a June primary. Nothing else on the ballot other than the statewide races and legislative races. So I think Arnold Schwarzenegger is a convenient foil in that crowd. I mean, this is a group, Republican primary voters. That's a group where Arnold Schwarzenegger is not tremendously popular. And I think that there's political advantage for, you know, beating up the governor. Now, I mean, could he deliver? Does he have a segment of support among primary voters? Yeah. But, you know, I don't expect him to get involved in the middle of a contested partisan primary.
Of course, there are a couple of things there that I think are fascinating on that. And then we'll move to the Senate contest maybe. And that is that the real Arnold Schwarzenegger voters in California, most people will tell you, are decline to state voters. They're the people who haven't played the party politics the same way. They were the ones who came to him first. They were part of the recall movement. I mean, you know, we could go on and on and on. Whether or not they've stayed with him remains to be seen. But if decline to state, nonpartisan, independent voters get to have a role in the June primary, that could be interesting. The governor will also, you know, be out campaigning for the open primary measure that's on the June ballot. So the governor's going to be in the middle of the campaign phenomenon for that June primary.
Although we've seen, you know, in this last go-round, remember last year, even though he was supporting these measures on the May ballot, the budget measures, the governor himself was not in those ads.
Because
he's not
job
popular.
Approval ratings were so bad.
Right. And I'm not so sure they're going to get much better between now and June, between then and June. So, but the independents, I mean, nationally today, I just saw a story where, you know, Democrats are getting worried nationally because independents in the tracking polls are starting to move towards Republicans on the generic ballot. So if that's true, we could see, you know, I mean, is 2010 going to be another 1994? I mean, that's another sort of question that's being asked. Is this going to be a landslide, you know, Republican year and nationally? And if so, what does that mean in California? I mean, California is pretty darn blue when it comes to electoral politics, but but could the scales tip? And if you see declining state voters inclined to go Republican anyway, how will they be voting in the primary in June?
Well, let's talk about the U.S. Senate race for a moment, just for fun. Carly Fiorina versus Chuck DeVore, State Assemblyman DeVore, conservatives, conservative. Carly Fiorina, former CEO of Hewlett-Packard, national prominence through the John McCain campaign, but really no track record of politics in California. Also didn't vote some, but neither did Meg Whitman and all those kind of things.
Right.
That's a very interesting one because the national press is going to gravitate toward Fiorina. I'm sure that doesn't make DeVore happy. The party faithful have got to like where DeVore stands on the issues. I mean,
yep.
It's going to be interesting to see how Fiorina kind of fleshes out her issues. But I don't know. What do you make of that nomination battle before we talk about boxing?
I mean, I think it's going to be tough. I think you've seen polling that shows, again, among primary voters, it's a close race for now. Now, DeVore has kind of a Tom Campbell problem in that he can't raise the money that someone like Fiorina has in her bank account. Although Fiorina is out raising money and seems to have courted a lot of the national folks. I mean, you know, again, looking for potential parallels, is this a Bill Simon, Dick Reardon thing? Remember in 2002, you had Richard Reardon, then the mayor of Los Angeles, running for the Republican nomination for governor, sort of the moderate that had been dragged into the race by the White House. And not saying that's a perfect parallel with what
because I don't think Fiorina is as moderate as Reardon was.
No.
I mean, she's pro-life, for example.
But when compared to Chuck DeVore, I mean, you know, anybody pretty much would be a
moderate. He's a conservative's conservative.
He is a conservative. And on the other side, you have DeVore, who, as you described, is a conservative's conservative. Now, Bill Simon had the ability to self-fund. But he also had that core support from the party faithful. And the question, I think, still is how much sway and what role do those conservative faithful play in a primary? Now, this was always the question in the recall. Remember the recall, there was no primary. And so you had a conservative, Tom McClintock, in the race, but it was not a closed or it was not even a Republican primary. It was a general election. And Carly Fiorina is no Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, he had a whole persona that transcended politics. So.
Plus, he really didn't have much of a past that could be brought up much in the campaign. I mean, he had, you know, his own personality and his own personal life that maybe came up. But Fiorina's got an entire business record of which becomes the point of why she's running, much in the way Whitman does. But Whitman's record is a lot easier to defend than Fiorina's because she didn't leave on her own terms from Hewlett-Packard.
She has some tough times at HP at the end there. She got bounced by her own board at the end. There were massive layoffs during her tenure at Hewlett-Packard. You know, at the time, she oversaw the acquisition of Compaq by HP, which at the time was not going well. It turns out it has been, in retrospect, it has been a good acquisition for them. But I think that her record, I mean, the Boxer campaign has already started slamming Fiorina's record.
Well, and I was going to say, so let's talk about Boxer for a moment, just because we want to circle it back, if that's all right, to the big picture. What happens? What does Barbara? I mean, Barbara Boxer wants DeVore, obviously.
Sure.
I guess, right? Because then it's a real contrast. It's, you know, it kind of focuses in the conservative base of the party of the Republicans, which are outnumbered in California. Is that would be the conventional wisdom? Is that fair?
Yeah.
She doesn't want Fiorina. She wants DeVore.
No, that's true. I mean, look back to 1992 when Barbara Boxer first got elected. She got elected because she ran against Bruce Hershenson, who's a conservative who came through a Republican primary against Tom Campbell, who was a mod. If Tom Campbell had won that primary, he'd still be a U.S. senator today.
And all of her opponents since have not been – they haven't provided a real matchup. Matt Fong. 1998, which really wasn't a name that was going to attract money and attention.
Huge Democratic year.
And then Bill Jones in 2004 in a campaign that didn't really go anywhere for lots of reasons. A lot of people have often called Barbara Boxer one of the luckiest people in politics because she hasn't drawn a formidable candidate in a November matchup. Fiorina may not be, but at this juncture, she looks like a very interesting candidate. Again, I don't want to write off Mr. DeVore. Don't email me, Chuck. Don't Twitter that I didn't talk about you. You might have a shot. You really do. But I'm just saying the Fiorina matchup could be very different for Barbara Boxer.
It could be, although both DeVore and Fiorina are untested on this scale. I mean, I think if you look at Fiorina's record, even as a surrogate from the McCain campaign, she was muzzled by the campaign. Remember, there was a flap about whether or not she was on message, and she said at one point that John McCain was not qualified to run a major American corporation. And suddenly she was no longer on CNN. It was right. The weirdest thing.
Right. And YouTube is different. YouTube has changed the dynamic yes. in what you've said on tape before.
On op yeah. research, yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I think that we're going to see some of these things, and we could see some of these things in the primary. I mean, Barbara Boxer is in a very different position than Jerry Brown. She has a lot of money in the bank. She has the ability to raise a lot of money. And it would not surprise me to see Boxer and her political team take some shots at Fiorina before the June primary.
It would be tough, though. I mean, if things really got bad in the country and the president was really down in the polls, it's possible there could be a wave of that that would hit California. But you would think we're one of the last places for that to happen just because of our registration. I mean, it would take a lot, it would seem like, for a Republican to knock off a Democratic incumbent in California.
Yeah,
but it would. Never say never.
I mean, No. And I don't think that that Barbara Boxer's – I mean, if you look at the stature of our two U.S. senators – clearly, Dianne Feinstein, in terms of personal popularity, more of a political moderate. She has a standing that I think is different than that of Barbara Boxer. I think Barbara Boxer, in a generic way, is more of the two incumbents, certainly is more vulnerable.
Yeah. And we didn't even mention about DiFi and the race for governor. We'll just leave that one out for now.
Leave that one to Willie Brown.
Yeah, really, I think he's trying to recruit her in the pages of the Chronicle.
You think?
It'll be an interesting year. If any of us in the political press still have a job, we'll be here covering it.
Now, I've got to go out and shop because it's Friday.
It's Black Friday.
That's right.
It's only so many shopping days till Christmas. What are you getting me? It's another story.
Same as last year.
And with that, we'll see you next time. For Anthony York from Capital Weekly, I'm John Myers from KQED. Happy Thanksgiving.